I think it is safe to say that we would all share in common the notion that we want our life to count for something. The mark that each of us makes in this world will be different. It'll be unique. But all of us, each in our own small way, want to make an impact. We want to make a difference in the lives of others. I don't mean to say that we're all seeking to be rich and famous, although undoubtedly some people do seek after these things. For some, this is their purpose. We may simply aspire to make our mark as a diligent parent or as a caring spouse. If we're a student, we may want to make our mark with certain grades, achieve certain awards, obtain certain degrees. In the world of business, we may seek to make our mark by being among the best in our profession. Or if we're an educator, if we are in ministry, if we work with people for a living, our mark of influence might be measured in the lives of others that are influenced by us, by our care and teaching. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the notion or the importance of leading a life that was marked by purpose. We talked about taking specific aim with our life, believing that progress comes from purpose, and that we can't expect to make a difference in this world. We can't expect to make a difference in people's lives simply through drifting and accepting the status quo. This morning, I'd like us to continue with that same theme, but this time from a different angle. This morning, I'd like us to think about the purpose-driven living that comes from walking in the footsteps of another. Because if progress comes from purpose, we need to make sure we accurately identify the right purpose. We don't want to be aiming for the wrong thing. How will we know what to aim for? How will we know what purpose to pursue? Many of us, I suspect, just take our cues from those around us. We take our purpose cues, we take aim according to what we see in the lives of our parents. We take aim according to what we see in the lives of our friends, our peers, our colleagues, our mentors. In other words, gaining purpose for our life is a learned exercise. It's something that we have to pay attention to as we watch those we respect. I was reading the Old Testament recently, in particular 1 Samuel, and I came across two individuals who led vastly different lives in terms of their purpose, in terms of the things that they were aiming at with their life. In 1 Samuel 25, there's an individual named Nabal. And there's another well known to us, David. The account of Nabal is found in 1 Samuel 25, and if I could just summarize the passage for you. At this time, David is not yet king, Saul is king. And Saul has become quite jealous of David's popularity and his influence. And so Saul has turned on David and is seeking to take his life. So David and his supporters, David and his mighty men, they've retreated from Saul. And they've made camp at a place where Nabal's servants are shearing sheep. And through Nabal's servants, David makes a request to obtain supplies, to obtain some things necessary for life and security. The servants take the request to Nabal, and Nabal stubbornly refuses to give them anything at all. But Nabal's wife, Abigail, gets word of the request. And secretly, she gathers up the supplies that David and his men would need. And Abigail brings those supplies out to him. And now we can pick up the account with Abigail's return to her husband. And I want to read you the key verses from 1 Samuel 25, verse 36. When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing until daybreak. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. That is both a harsh passage and an interesting one, because the one writing this chapter didn't need to tell us that the Lord struck Nabal. It could have been enough for us just to know that he had heard this news, that his wife had gone secretly behind his back to help David and his men. But the narrator felt it was important to know that the Lord is involved in all the details of our life, and even what Nabal refused to do and his passing, the Lord had his hand in it. Now I realize that's harsh stuff. Nabal was an exceedingly wealthy man, but unfortunately we learn that his wealth was matched by his stubbornness, matched by his greed, matched by other excesses. Nabal's purpose in life, so it seems, was to look after himself. Nabal's purpose was to please himself. Now compare that with what the Apostle Paul says about the life of David when speaking to the crowds in Acts chapter 13. This is how Paul summarizes David's life. When David had served God's purposes in his generation, he died. When David had served God's purposes in his generation, he died. Friends, I long for that to be a description of my life. I long for it when the day comes that Bryn McPhail passes away, when Bryn McPhail dies, that someone might say, yes, he's gone, but he served the purpose that God had set before him. What's not in doubt is whether our life on this earth will end. Nabal and David had this in common. They both died. The difference lies in the purposes that they lived for, which begs the question for each of us today. Whose purposes are you serving? To whom are you looking for your cue to take aim with your life and what you are seeking to achieve? Whose purposes are you serving? I don't mean to suggest that this is cut and dried. I don't mean to say that this is one or the other. Either you're like Nabal or you're like David and there's nothing in between. No, I'm not saying that. David certainly wasn't perfect. If you're familiar with the track of his life, he had some very serious moral failings. But we see in David's life a certain trajectory. We see in David's life a certain pattern that is commended now to us. David's primary orientation was to serve God's purposes. To serve God's purposes above his own and above those of others. Earlier in this same passage from Acts chapter 13, Paul actually pulls a quote of what the Lord himself said of David. This is what the Lord says. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. What an amazing phrase you don't see too often. That David is described as a man after God's own heart. And so it appears to me that following the purposes of another is more than outward conformity. Following the purposes of another requires a connecting of hearts. Can I give you an illustration of this? And Again, it may seem simple, maybe even out of place, but for me, it seemed a strong connection to the kind of conformity that God wants for our lives, the kind of connection that God desires. It's not a secret in this congregation that I am a huge fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, to a fault. And so whenever the Toronto Maple Leafs are on TV and I don't have a meeting, I'm sitting there watching the game. And it is my delight that almost always now I'm watching the game, and down the stairs comes my 6-year-old daughter, Anya. And she is wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey. She is wearing Toronto Maple Leafs pajamas. She's carrying a bowl of popcorn, and she joins me on the couch. How is this the case? I see Anya coming down the stairs, and I think, this is beautiful. This is a girl after my own heart. I want to tell you, I want to assure you, I've been accused in this realm of brainwashing Anya. Oh, you brainwashed Anya. Why is she doing this? I can assure you, I have never required Anya to wear Toronto Maple Leaf jerseys in the house. I have never commanded her to bring down a bowl of popcorn and sit with me on the couch. It has always been her inclination. It has always been the deep desire of her heart to do these things. So you see, I wouldn't want you to think that you and I can serve God's purposes outwardly and think that's enough. God cares about our inward inclination, the desires of our heart, more than that outward act of conformity or obedience. God seeks hearts that are inclined to follow Him. And David had that. And I want that. How do we get there? How do we get to a point where it could be said of us that we had a heart that was after God? Well, let me ask the question, how did Anya get to love popcorn and the Toronto Maple Leafs if it's not something I commanded or something I required? Why does she like those things? My guess is that it has everything to do with proximity. Proximity. And I'll tell you why I think this, because one of my best friends is an avid fan of the Montreal Canadiens. In fact, I have a few good friends whose first team is the Montreal Canadiens. Why doesn't Anya cheer for them? In fact, last night we were sitting at a restaurant. She had one of those children's menu. It was blank on the other side. She flips it over. She begins drawing the C with the H in the middle, the Montreal Canadian logo. She drew them all over the page, and then she put X's through them. Why isn't she a fan of the Montreal Canadiens? Clearly this year they are a better team. Why would she choose the Toronto Maple Leafs? It has everything to do with proximity. And so what I'm suggesting this morning is that if we want our purpose in life to be on the mark, if we want it to be said of us that we served God's purposes over the course of our life, then we too need to be living lives in close proximity to our Lord and Savior. And that our outward obedience to Him isn't enough. That we have to spend time with God, pray to Him, engage Him on a deeply personal level. Read the Bible not as a book simply filled with words and lessons, but as a love letter written by our Heavenly Father. We need to draw close to God. And when we do so, our purposes in life will gain clarity. And I apologize for this redundant theme, and Diana was so kind in saying that to a degree I found my purpose in life. Well, for the longest time, my purpose was to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Honestly, that's what I wanted to do from the youngest age. But as we draw close to God personally, the things that maybe we originally pursued fade from focus. And God brings to our attention something new, something different, something risky, something sacrificial, but something that satisfies deeply. As we draw close to our Lord and Savior, our purpose comes into view. Once we take aim spiritually, we have to begin to engage in certain activities. It's important that we go through these disciplines of prayer and scripture reading, not as simply items of outward conformity, but in order to draw close to God, there are certain things that we ought to do. It's like if I told you this morning that I had a New Year's resolution to get into better shape. You would think it's strange if you then learned that I never exercised, that I never stepped on a treadmill, that I didn't eat healthy foods. You would say my activities don't match my resolution. So friends, if we are resolving to be engaged in taking aim at God's purposes, there are certain exercises that we must pursue, and all of them will give us closer proximity to God. I am certain that everyone sitting in this room today has examples of godliness for you to follow. Every single one of you, wherever you are at on the faith spectrum or the faith journey, whether you're checking out Christianity and you're not yet committed, or maybe you're long committed, no matter where you are on the spectrum, you are here today in some measure because someone came before you who inspired you. Someone who professed Christ, someone who followed Christ inspired you. And that's caused you to be here today, to check it out or to commit further to it. We all have examples of godliness in our life. And admittedly, some of those examples, some of those individuals that we've been following are no longer with us. But their imprint, the mark they made upon our life, remains. The footsteps, the prints in the sand remain, and we know the way in which we need to go because someone has gone before us, someone has shown us the way, and they were following in the footsteps of their Savior. We have examples of godliness, an abundance of examples in our life. And I pray that you will pursue those footsteps, that you will pursue the journey that those before you have pursued. And I pray that as you do that, you will experience the blessings, that you will experience the satisfaction that comes from serving God's purposes in your generation. Amen.